cut anything out, we will.
I'll put on a vine tray.
You're going to do what?
I'll put on mute.
Okay. All right. Go find the channel, at least.
Oh, so we're recording already?
I already turned it on, but I'm trying to get Doug to put on the baseball game.
Okay. Turn down the what?
All right, so we really have no agenda. We're just going to talk. That's pretty much what we always do.
Hey, Darth.
All right, so hey, welcome Darth. To Slow Podcast, episode 402. Yeah, we're recording because I got to record the call and record the podcast at the same time because I'm going to have to mix together the files. So, again, we have Doug, Scott, Darth, and myself. Myself is Trey. Just in case you didn't know my voice at this point.
For all you noobs out there.
So we're going to talk WrestleMania. That's what we're going to lead off with.
Scott's sexy voice. Where's Scott? Where's
I'm
Scott?
Here. You know I don't have a sexy voice.
Hey, baby.
Scott waits till like the last minute to say something. It's like, Scott's here. And like 2 minutes, people are like, oh, no, Scott's not there. Bullshit. Bullshit, Trey.
People are going to think we're doing like drinking. While we're playing doing the podcast,
we totally should do that.
Don't worry, this is a non-alcoholic podcast.
We should do it. Yeah,
we save the drinking one.
Trade deadline podcast. All right.
When Trey has another bachelor party,
deadline.
You can have another one before your second marriage to Courtney.
Got it.
You know, like people do that all the time.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut that part out.
You can't have a name out there. Trey, you're Facebook friends with everybody. They know who you're married to. Well, Doug is really Facebook friends with everybody.
I'm that. What is that? Like, there's seven levels of. What is that? You know how you could trace it back to someone, and someone's always at the center. Like,
I'm just gonna let you fight.
I don't know the name of it, but like
7 degrees of separation.
Yeah, there you go.
Really? Why'd you help
him? I thought that was close.
7 levels. 7 degrees.
Seven levels of bullshit.
So, Darth, what's up?
Shit, man. Just started my lunch.
Nice. When's this sim tonight?
I'm guessing it'll be probably a little later.
Let's do a late one for the trade deadline and cut off the trade deadline at like 7 or something.
Yeah, we can do it. I mean, it'll probably end up that late anyway. Yeah. I'll foresee an influx of trades and edited depth charts.
Yeah,
I think that's why we have 13 in right now.
Do the deadline at like 7, and then like the DC deadline is like 8 or 9 or something like that.
You know what will make me happy?
What?
What?
There's not one more trade. That would make me very happy.
Wait.
Oh, you know some people are gonna do some stuff.
Chad, we're gonna have at least one more trade.
Why?
You know.
No, I don't know. I want certain people to stay in certain places.
Insider information, huh? Anybody?
No. Hey.
I mean, Shaq for a second rounder. That's what I'm working on right now.
Oh, good luck. Good luck. Yeah. I hope you get that done.
I offered him
why doesn't he do wrestling?
5 points for Shaq.
Chuck Liddell?
Yeah.
Seems legit. This is why we can't have a TV on during a podcast.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to say...
Turn that off.
No, stop it. Don't turn it off. The game starts in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Let's do like 5 minutes of WrestleMania and get that out the way because...
All right. So I think...
I know y'all
so Doug
talk
and Trey are
going to
talk about it.
No, come on. You're gonna
I have nothing to add.
You know, some of the guys are, you know, Batista's there and Undertaker.
Trey, throw him my title.
Triple
though.
H.
It's right there.
Do you know him?
All right,
my autographs on it.
Nice. All right.
Doug is raising up.
So we don't do a video podcast, but apparently we need to start doing that because
no. Grumpy cat. No.
No. It's gonna be a fun weekend. I think that show's gonna be awesome.
Yeah.
Because we know how cool the Superdome is during football games and everything. Just imagine when
it'll be pretty nuts. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, to be honest, this whole weekend they have a, and I'll share a couple of the links on that. In League Chat, but a friend of mine showed me last night, like somewhere on Gambit, there, the Best of New Orleans, they have just a slew of like WWE sanctioned events and then non-WWE events, and like the McAllister Auditorium at Tulane has like wrestling matches going on pretty much all day, every day until Sunday. Tonight they have something called Kaiju Big Battle, which is essentially these guys, these wrestlers, dress up as like Japanese monsters, and then they battle in the ring. So they're dressed up as like Godzilla like shit, and then but what's cool about it is that in the ring they have like these little cardboard houses and buildings and stuff like laid all over the place to create a miniature cityscape. And so when they're suplexing and doing body slams on each other, they're crushing houses. So it makes it like one of those cheesy like Japanese movies.
It's too bad that it won't be in slow motion.
Yeah.
Like the movies are actually.
It sounds amazing though. Like I've seen pictures and the pictures I saw of it just looked fantastic. So I'm going to that tonight. It's at midnight at Tulane. And there's another thing in Chalmette where they have some older wrestlers like Tommy Dreamer, I think Mickey James, some other guys that used to be in the WWE. And then they have some other stuff all over the place. Hilario Center has some things going on for our Ring of Honor where like Daniel Bryan and CM Punk came from.
Well, Scott and I got Captain America out of the way last night because we knew this weekend.
Oh, ScarJo.
ScarJo is amazing in that movie. It's worth giving the... It's worth seeing just for that. Lots of time for her. I really hope she gets her own movie.
I wish I could motorboat her.
They said that they're... She says that... The interviews with her, it sounded like they're trying to do it or she would be up for doing it.
I think that would be... I don't know if a movie would be good, but I think a miniseries on, like, TV or Netflix
they should,
would be
no, they should have a Hawkeye and,
Like a co-op?
Yeah. Hawkeye and, Black Widow movie.
Yeah.
Because Jeremy Renner is a really good actor as well.
Yeah.
He's underutilized
he's start
a lot
getting,
in those
He's
going to
start getting expensive, though. He's
well,
going to start getting
I think
expensive.
He was really pissed after the Avengers movie last time because the way they portrayed him.
Yeah.
Like, he said, like...
Well, he
I
was
even
taken over the whole time.
Yeah. He's like, I didn't even get to be the character that much, except for, like, that one battle scene at the end.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, anyway, TLDR.
Well, too long, didn't read. All
WrestleMania
right.
weekend is going to be awesome. Sim League meetup on Sunday, if possible, if you guys are available.
Happies, there's really stuff that breaks out. It's really hilarious.
Yeah. And it's not...
I have videos. I'll post the videos so that you guys can see what happened last
cool.
year. And that'll make it worth going to see it again this year.
Yeah, and I think that's close enough to the dome, so if the weather's pretty shitty, you can still get to the dome relatively quickly. And they have a lot of covered walk in between there and the dome. So, yeah. So... Yeah, simply meet up. Just post if you're going or what time you're going. Maybe we can just exchange PMs on sometime this weekend. Just let everyone know.
Just put your age, sex, and location on there.
ASL, and then your trait preference, giver or taker.
All right,
catcher.
So we're about the mid. We're at that halfway point, right?
Almost, yeah.
Darth?
If not.
So, do we want to talk trade deadline or we want to talk biggest surprises this year?
We got a couple posts. In the thread.
Well, we'll bring
I thought
that
that's when we're running out of ideas.
Yeah, we'll bring that in.
Well, some of those kind of came in.
All right, so halfway through the league, anything stands out as biggest surprise, biggest disappointment?
We can talk about some of the teams that are doing really well that we thought, you know, are maybe a little surprised or whatnot. Or some good moves, whatnot. I think the Spurs should get a whole lot of credit. They're really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
They're complete. They're complete. They're going to be scary in the playoffs.
The Sonics as well.
Yeah. Sonics defense
Sonics
is
really good.
Well, and
my defense came off really, really strong, but I had a very weak schedule starting off. The Sonics, they have not. Their defense hasn't swayed. Like they're the real deal.
Well, so the Spurs could easily get beat by the Rockets or Mavs, but they also are so well balanced that they could give both teams a run for their money.
The Spurs could absolutely represent the West in the finals.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think the way they're built out, they have balance at every position.
Yeah.
So that way they can play matchups really well, whereas
mm-hmm.
they may struggle a bit during the season. With, you know, just lineups and whatnot, but I think when it comes down to actually matching up to one team, I think he has the flexibility with Dale Davis, Manning, you know, all those guys that he can move them around and position his players at, you know, what positions
right.
he needs them to be. If he needs to match up his best defender on the four or the five.
Yeah. He'll have good opportunity in the postseason to show off his GMing skills.
Yeah.
And his game planning and stuff like
GMing
that.
Do you mean GMing or do you mean coaching?
Whatever.
I mean, we're trying to define that this week.
We're not. It's the same thing. He's and GMs.
He's a fairly deep team, too, right? 8 or 9 deep?
Yeah. I mean, his worst start of Danny Manning, like, he can score. Yeah. I mean, I had to play him in the first round last year, and Manning was a problem for me.
I think also another thing he actually had issues with, he's been hit by the injury bug a bit this season, too. I know Dale Davis missed some time. I don't know if Manning did. I think Todd Day missed some time, and that's his depth at it, too.
Yeah.
You know, he's had some guys that didn't, you know, that haven't been able to be on the court the full time, and yet he's still up there.
Yeah.
I think another team that's kind of been a surprise with the Blazers, considering their lack of depth of the bigs position, and how that rotation at the 1, 2, and 3 has really worked out for them.
They're 4 games over .500 now. I thought they'd be around the .500 team.
Yeah.
They're doing a lot better.
And they've beaten some good teams, too.
Shit, me.
Beat my ass.
Yeah. I think he's beat the top teams in the Pacific at least once.
He has a team right now constructed where you have to game plan against his team.
Yeah,
I was gonna say that too.
If I could game plan against him, I wouldn't be too concerned. But going through the regular season and you know, just going with my thing, man, he handled me. You have to game plan towards his team.
Yeah. You have to change up your stuff.
Yeah, Spurs. Definitely.
No.
Yeah.
Sorry.
But yeah, like he has just so many good shooters at the 3, the 1, the 2.
Yep.
That this is where I know a lot of people are talking about. There's not a lot of good perimeter defenders at the 3 right now, or they have some out there, but there's not a lot of good teams with a good perimeter playing 3, and I think the Blazers are an example of one, because you know, so if you can match up with that, then that's great. But if you can't, then that could be a struggle down the road, you know, especially if he gets into the playoffs.
Let's see.
In the East, let's look at the East real quick.
So I mean, Pistons, Pacers, Raptors.
You expect that?
The Pacers have been good. Their whole thing is just playoffs. I mean, they've been good every year, just about.
I think the problem with them is that they end up kind of tailing off towards the back end of the season, and that's something. If he can fix that one year, he'll be absolutely fine. But like, and it's not anything he's doing. He's not doing anything crazy and losing games. Like it's like his team almost gets worn out at a certain point, or he has more away games in the second half of the season. Mm-hmm. I don't know. If the Raptors can stay healthy, they're a force to be reckoned with.
I think the top 7
are pretty set.
Teams in the East are going to be set. Yeah, I don't see the Hawks are, you know, they're far from great. They're only 3 games over .500, but they're the last team over .500. The East isn't that great this year, and I mean, you know, I see him figuring it out maybe a little more than actually falling off. So I think the Sixers and Sixers, Bulls, Wizards.
Yeah, but you know what? The Hawks could still end up as a 7 seed, because I don't think he'll pass up the Knicks. I don't think he'll pass up the Celtics or the...
Oh, no, yeah, they could stay, yeah. I just think they won't miss the playoffs.
Just think about that. Playing that as a 2 seed is...
intimidating.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy 7-2 matchup.
Right now, that would be Trey against the Hawks.
Trey, you know, how would you feel about your first matchup?
Feel good about it. I mean, I'm a pretty easy team to, you know, I've been really hurt by training camp because I don't rebound very well. I don't play post D very well. So, good for me. He doesn't have a strong presence on the inside.
Except for Schmidt. He's
but he's still pretty good on the outside, you know?
Yeah.
I think another team that you need to, especially going forward, that you need to watch out for is the Raptors. I mean, just in our last 10, they went 9-1.
Yeah.
They had a little bit of a slump when they first acquired Barkley because they had to figure it out.
Yeah.
But now they're starting to roll.
I think he tried a lot more stuff than he probably shouldn't have at first, and that's why he lost some of those games. But I think if he just goes
with it now, then later.
Yeah, if he just goes with the normal game plan, he'll be fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, he's cool with that. I mean, and that's good. That's good. He knows he's going to be in the playoffs. A lot of us know we're going to be in the playoffs. Trey, you know you're going to make the playoffs. Yeah. The Celtics know they're going to make the playoffs. You know, I've played with some drastic things as far as like some big things that you normally wouldn't do, like balance from inside to outside to balance, you know, pace up, pace down, just to figure out what works and what doesn't against certain teams. So he's done a lot of that, considering he's still 28-17.
Yeah.
After playing around with all of that shit.
Yeah, because he had a couple. I think he went like one win or zero, no wins in one sim.
He had some bad sims.
Yeah. So, I mean, to be where he's at, only really three games back from, you know, winning the Central, and say that says a lot. So, I think that's one of the teams that you really, really, really need to look out for.
I really do. I mean, I think if you're going to looking out at the second half of the season, I mean, it's going to take me staying hot to hold on to the division because, you know, I expect the Pacers to buck the trend and be good towards the end of the year, and I certainly expect the Raptors to be good, unless Magic just doesn't make them a better team, which is insane to me.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either. I think that we have two home games. I have two home games against him left in the season, so there's a chance I might get those wins, but I still have to outperform him on the rest of the schedule, and I think that he's going to just burn through teams,
man,
towards the end of the year.
I don't know what he's going to do with him, if he's going to bring Magic back as a starter or if he's going to have him play a super sub off the bench, but, I mean, to even have that opportunity or that option of bringing Magic off the bench, the 1-2-3, is scary. You know, Magic Johnson, you know, is your back.
As far as my team goes, and I won't spend much time on this, I like that I can move my guys around.
Trey owes me a beer.
No, I already bought him a beer last night. It was trade deadline. Of course it was going to come up. So, having guys that I can move around, the problem is Leitner has just been absolutely useless to me this year. Like, in the starting lineup, he's been bad. Off the bench, he's been not great, so, you know, that's the only thing there. But for the most part, you know, I should be able to game plan against some teams. There's other teams I just won't be able to compete with because of the dominant inside presence. Because my team still is an inside focused team. They're driving to the goal. They're getting foul shots. Mm-hmm. But like, who else in the conference are we looking at that, you know, are impressing you so far? Who's the biggest disappointments?
Let's see. The 76ers, they're extremely, extremely streaky.
Erratic.
They could be. I mean, I would not be shocked at all if they, you know, solidified like the 8 seed or the 7 seed. Like, I wouldn't be shocked because they could be. They've shown flashes of, they beat some really, really good teams. Everyone else in the East is just, you know, below average. Wizards, Cavs, Bulls.
Yeah.
They're all eh. You know, they're Hornets, Saints, you know, they're...
You know, one team there's a couple teams that I could see making a late push. The Wizards, I know they kind of got a new team with them right now after trading Rodman and trading some pieces. You know, if they get that figured out or try to figure out a new game plan where they do like kind of run and gun or something like that, but I don't even know if that's a good option for them. I'm not looking at their team at the moment, but I think the Heat, if they can figure out a good defensive rotation, because I mean they're great at home, but just their road record, like Trey saw that earlier.
Oh, 2-19.
It's 2-19. The second worst road record in the league behind the Magic. So if you could just turn some of those road games into some W's, I think he could possibly. I mean, he's only 4.5 games back from Bo in the 8th seed. So the fact that he's that far back, you know, he could make a push as well. I mean, it's not that far out of the realm of making the playoffs. So, I mean, I think the 8th seed, like you said, is pretty open. I think the Sixers have they're like streamlined or not streamlined, but they're
yeah,
kind
I think
of,
they yeah
they have
they,
it's theirs it's to lose in my opinion.
Bearded brothers.
But yeah.
What do you think, Trey?
What are we talking about? No, don't do it. The game's about to start. They're showing. Look how awesome that ring looks. Sorry. What were we talking about?
We're talking about.
I knew you weren't paying attention.
If you were talking about the Heat as far as the AC goes, I don't think that's gonna happen.
I mean, if you could figure out some defensive rotations and improve his defense,
it could happen if something happens during the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, if something else comes together, move. Then maybe. I'm pulling it up right now. I mean, the Bulls are always. They always have the potential to be better.
They have no depth at the front court, though. I think if you...
But if they catch the right teams. I mean, it's all about schedule.
You know, only
if
they could trade someone like Popeye Jones and, like, Geiger for a guy like Cycli, you know, they might be contending.
Wow.
I don't really expect you're going to see the Sixers. The Sixers are still a pretty decent team. They're just streaky, like you said. I think it's going to be the Bulls, honestly. The Wizards, I don't know that they necessarily made themselves better. They haven't made any deals, right? That was the...
Who?
The Wizards?
They traded Rodman.
Oh, yeah, so they dealt somebody. I don't know. I think it's going to be the Bulls that are going to be the ones, the only ones with a chance, because the Bulls beat me every time, so I have a high respect for them at this point.
So let's look at...
The Bulls, have a lot of people's numbers, but not enough teams.
Right.
Like, the Bulls have, your number. I forget who else is, but it's another good team. But they have their... That's all I read is, I still can't beat the Bulls.
Right.
But they just can't beat anybody else. So
right. No, I mean, that's totally it. I mean, honestly, does it matter? Because the East is going to be won by the Celtics. I mean, if they're healthy going into the playoffs, which is a key point... they're going to destroy whoever the 8 seed is. They're going to destroy whoever the 4 or 5 seed is. And then they're going to, destroy whoever's in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they're such a strong team that they've had some puzzling stems for sure. But they're 19-2 at home. So if they're, if they represent the East as the number one seed, I just don't see anybody beating them. They're too good. That's everybody knows how good the Celtics are. It's going to have to be somebody in the West and somebody who matches up fairly well against them.
Like the Lakers.
Like the Lakers, apparently.
Apparently. I've already done it.
We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but we had the biggest surprises and the biggest, I guess, the most successful teams in the first half of the season. Who, in your mind, is the... Some of the more disappointing teams, things you expect the most. We already kind of mentioned the Sixers being really streaky.
I think the Suns are the biggest disappointment in the entire league. Maybe in a long time. For a team to have that much backing from everybody looking at what they were doing. I mean, now he was hurt. Akeem was hurt for a sim or two.
That shouldn't
have been affected it this much.
Before or after.
Right. He's 14-31. I don't understand it, to be honest with you. I think that's the biggest disappointment. Everybody who's bad is bad because we expected them to be bad. The Nuggets, Magic, and Bucks, I mean, we weren't expecting much from them. The Hornets are the next worst team in the East, and I think I would have expected a little bit more from them at some point. Not much more. I wouldn't say I expected more than 20 wins from them at this point, but...
I expected them not to trade the draft pick. I mean, the 96 pick, and no offense, I think Mookie is a good player. I drafted him in the creation draft, but, I think that a guy like that who hasn't proven he can make the playoffs, that has really pigeonholed himself, I guess, in terms of players, shouldn't be moving his pick, but...
Yeah. There's a few teams.
It wasn't a bad value trade. I just think
there's a few teams that you can look at and say, yeah, they can trade their pick for 3 years from now. The Celtics are one of those teams. Probably the Lakers. I know that everybody I've talked to about the 96 pick has quickly declined it. There's just a few teams that have the kind of depth for a couple years that it won't be.
I traded mine. I mean, quickly yeah. traded mine.
I think you're probably in that same boat too. And I just, there's a lot of other teams. Like if you're not one of those four or five teams, you should probably be holding on to your 96 pick.
Yeah.
And when the 97 becomes available next year, you should be holding on to that one as well.
All picks.
Take
yeah,
this, well, I mean, take this as,
picks.
Yeah.
It all comes down to what you're looking for now versus later. Like a lot of teams are willing to risk it if they think that the piece that they're bringing in for the value of that pick. But at the same time, I know building through the draft is always a risk because it's a lotto and you're not guaranteed
yeah, yeah, yeah.
blah, blah,
but,
blah.
But at the end of the day, the
yeah.
teams that haven't been proven playoff teams
should not
be risking
that I agree.
Much.
I agree.
Those guys should not be taking that extra risk that others would take if they know
well,
they're very probable to make the playoffs. That should be a risk you shouldn't take.
The Hornets are not going to be a competitor with this trade. They may get into the playoffs, but it doesn't make
no,
them
won't.
A favorite.
That's the problem. They won't.
No, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, they may be able to step it up a little bit, but it's not going to be enough to justify doing this.
What I think this trade did the most for him was help his defense out. That one and the Rodman trade.
Well,
but the problem
is
that he doesn't have anyone that could score outside
of...
It helped his defense.
It helped his defense, but another thing that it did was it his cap now is very wide open for the next 2 years, especially if he doesn't re-sign Rodman. His cap is pretty nice, and he can sign some pretty good players to make that team.
I mean, people act like Elliott had a bad deal. It was like $1.3 million or $1.5
million. I wasn't a fan of him. He didn't really do anything.
Him personally?
Good.
Elliot. Oh, I'm sorry.
Like above average? No, Elliott.
I thought it was like, oh, dick.
No, I mean, I guess based on his, you know, his potentials and his color, that the value should have been higher. But as far as just him as the player and looking at his actual ratings, I didn't really like him too much.
So because of his color? So because he was black?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I mean, just selling him for an expiring, I thought was a...
An old expiring at that. But, I mean, I think his biggest... He's trying to make a move to get into the playoffs this year.
That's over.
And I think that the problem with that is that you're trying to make a push for the playoffs when you're going against... Like, you would make the playoffs, but then you play the Celtics. I mean...
Why?
At that point, I can understand trying to improve your draft pick so that way you're not giving the Celtics a top five or top six pick.
Yeah.
Because right now, that's what
it's
looking like.
Why you use a protection.
So I'm thinking he's trying to get better just to prevent the Celtics from being, you know, having another pick handed to them, essentially.
Yeah.
But again, it comes back to, until you know that you have the pieces on your team that can put you in a position to contend or compete at least, don't move your pick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because
it's not like he's been competing or contending since the beginning of this league.
Look what's about to happen again. The championship team and both finals teams are going to get top five picks in this year's draft, and that is a fucking joke.
Wait, who's the other championship team?
You and the Celtics.
Oh, I'm not going to get it. Mine's protected.
Yeah, he's not getting that pick.
It's top three?
It's top five.
Oh, okay.
But next year I will be.
But next year will be the same premise. I mean, same deal.
KG, baby.
Yeah, but that goes back to a previous owner's bad trade for Willie Anderson.
Yeah.
Like, that's why. And the only reason the Lakers
but there's been habit of it.
But
I mean, this has been...
The reason the Lakers have that pick is because I gave it to them. So, you know, it's the same. It's passing hands between one team
yeah.
that's competing to another team that's competing or has
won. It goes back to the original team giving that pick up.
Yeah, and that, I mean, that's not, you can't, we can't blame the syndicate or the...
No, we can't blame him.
That.
No.
Right. That was a bad trade from the beginning. We all knew it.
You know, yeah.
But, anyway, let's see. What else? All right, so that was pretty much your biggest, you know, happiness or surprises and upsets. Let's do, I think we had a couple questions about the.
What about the all-star?
That's what I was about to say. Like, yeah. Who do you think is going to make the all-star game? Who's going to be a snub? Who's going to be, you know?
Well, I think you can look at the West front court and see the biggest debates. I mean, what do you think is going to? Who do you think is going to be the starting
absolutely
five?
Malone.
West. No. O'Neal.
Kemp. I think it's going to be Kemp.
It's going to be Shaq, Kemp. I don't
Shaq,
know the three.
Kemp, Malone.
Malone for
he
the three.
They do forwards. They do forwards. So if it's small or
they do forwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do basically 30 bigs.
Not a three that deserves a look.
I think Sabalos does. I think that's a snub I was gonna pick.
He might be a backup, if anything.
That would be fine.
Yeah.
I just think he deserves to make it.
Well, I mean, Glenn Rice might make it too.
So the thing about the forward thing is those kind of forwards, true small forwards, are gonna get snubbed a lot.
Well, you also have Weber.
Sabalos is at 19-7. 19.2 and 7.2.
Yeah.
I mean, those are all-star numbers.
But,
no, they are, but they're not
yeah
showing camp numbers.
But look,
they'll
at
never be showing camp numbers.
But look, you have – so we know Shaq, we know Kemp, we know Malone. Those are obvious ones. But Weber should be there. Hakeem should probably maybe be there.
That's I think Hakeem's going to be in the East by the end of the day.
So, yeah, I mean, if he's still in the West, he'll be on that team. And that's where it starts to hurt the true threes because there
yeah,
may not
yeah
be many of them.
Yeah, and it will. It will every year as long, you know, we got these powerful, the power forwards, you know, Kemp and Malone, they're gonna eat up the forwards, forward positions.
Well, and the
what
Weber,
about guards?
I mean, Weber's going to start doing the same thing, too. So,
what about guards?
Guards? I mean...
In the West, I think KJ's a
Jordan
given
and KJ.
Jordan, KJ.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think
and
who
that'll
else
be the starters. Probably,
yeah, for sure.
Right
yeah
there. Positive. That'll probably be the starters.
Do you think Penny's gonna make it?
Yes, I do. I hope so. I think
he could.
Should.
I think he has a good chance.
I'm
just trying to think of any other guards in the West right now. I mean, maybe I don't think Del Curry will make it. I don't think any of those guards from the Blazers. I mean, I don't think they have any. But he's been playing forward this year, so that he wouldn't even qualify, I don't think. Spreewell could have a chance.
Spreewell,
yeah.
Yeah,
but he's listed as a three, so.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I think
let's see.
I was going back to Weber. I think Weber will make it a bench. I think he will.
That's possible.
24-10.
Don't sleep on Danny Manning either.
Oh yeah, he's good. But I mean, who's gonna make like the fours and the fives in the West are just so
big.
I mean, like the forwards are just stacked in the West.
They are. They are.
I mean, you know, Horace Grant made it when you had him originally, and he's got absolutely no shot of making it this year.
Oh hell no.
You know what I'm saying? Like
hell no.
And he's a third team all-league guy, I think, two or three times in a row.
Yeah.
And he's got no shot of making the All-Star game, in my opinion, but we'll see.
No, he doesn't. I mean, his points have went down a lot, too, when I had him. When I had him, he made the All-Star game with 19.8, 10 rebounds.
Right.
Yeah.
Now he's at 16 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he doesn't have a chance.
16-10 is pretty – I mean, that's –
no, it's solid, but he's not going to, like you said, he doesn't have a shot in hell to make the All-Star game with all the forwards that there's,
yeah,
that's there.
It's, I mean, it's tough.
I think
we need Malone to die.
We do. God, we do.
He's going to be a tough 5-year
so
guy
I
to
think,
give up.
Yeah. He'll be good for a few more years.
I think you could see, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked to see if the Kings traded this offseason.
Yeah. Sign and trade him.
Yeah. To the East, please.
Yeah, please to the East.
Okay, so let's talk about the East. I mean, we've kind of – did we miss anybody on the West? I mean, we named 8 or 9 guys. There's 12 guys that make it.
I mean,
I think we got pretty much everybody. I think those are the pretty big hits. The East, though –
let's talk center. Zoe
and Robinson.
So Zoe and Robinson. So Zoe may not. Zoe may
not
start.
Robinson's going to start.
I think Robinson's going to start.
So Zoe will make it though. Zoe's the other center.
But no, do they do? Hold on. How do we do it in the past?
Well,
let me hold on. Let me look.
I don't think that you can expect the center to take the four spot, though.
I'm gonna look yeah, right quick. I can pull up the pass. I think I can pull up pass.
Probably there's Christian Laettner.
What's I was looking up to, dude?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Let's
is
see.
He gonna be handing the balls to 3-point contestants? 3-point shot contestants?
Probably.
3, 2, 1.
Yeah, yeah. You had two centers and the rest are just the two forward spots, two guards.
Yeah, two centers. So last year.
Shit, I think Ewing may not make it this year. I think he's been a shoo-in every year. Last year he made it because
Robinson was injured.
Right. So I don't think Ewing makes it. I think he may get snubbed.
Yeah, Ewing's not going to make it this year.
I think forward-wise...
I mean, Larry Johnson is...
You got Barkley is going to make it.
Barkley.
Larry Johnson's 19-9, essentially, on... you know, points and rebounds. I mean, he was there last year in the West. I don't really expect – it wouldn't surprise me if – we've seen guys get there with that kind of line. Then
yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me if he did make it.
Reggie Lewis from the Nets.
Yeah.
He can go as a forward.
Yeah.
What about no. I was going to say, what about Tarpley?
Tarpley, I don't know.
He's 17-10. 17-11 rebounds.
Stacey Augmon will definitely go as a two, though.
He won't be the starter though. Miller would be the starter.
Dude, 26-7 and 5, or 26-7 and 3.
He's going as a two.
Yeah.
26-7. So I have 26.
You're 25.9.
Yeah.
I think he might go ahead of Lillard.
I think he might get in there.
But the thing is, if there's no stud.
It could be a toss-up.
It's guards. Remember, it's not going to necessarily
pick
a point guard.
And remember, that's what happened
guard.
Last year. Is Miller got the guard spot that
yeah.
should have went to KJ or Magic?
Well, no, it's just a guard spot. I mean,
I honestly, Miller isn't he top five right now in scoring? Like Stacey Augmon's above him.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Miller's sixth. Augmon's fifth.
Okay. Well, I mean,
Bulls might have a couple guards that could do something. Let's see. Mullen could possibly make it as a he might actually beat out Reggie Lewis.
Maybe Mullen. I doubt Stockton.
No, Stockton won't make it.
Is
Stockton's
that crazy? Ewing might not make the All-Star game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, last year Robinson got hurt. He wouldn't have made it last year.
Yep.
And the year before that, there was no Zoo.
Nope.
No. I think. Antonio Davis got lucky last year. Antonio Davis might make it. He's January rookie of the month.
Anyways.
So here's a comparable number between Augmon and Miller. Miller has a 25.7 PER and Augmon has a 25.2. So I don't know if
that's the only
stat factors into
factors
it. Well, yeah, I mean, but
Tim Hardaway could possibly make it too. He's 19-10. I don't know if that's
Hardaway might be the best point guard in the East now.
Yeah.
Well, you don't think you don't think Gary Payton gets the nod again?
I don't know.
I haven't seen his line this year.
I mean, Gary Payton.
This is the thing. It kind of sneaks up on us, honestly. Well, he's scoring 16.8.
17-9?
Yeah.
That's not a very good line.
16, no. That, no, Payton won't make it.
But here's really the issue. Like, the All-Star game kind of, we're all focused on our teams, kind of getting them ready, you know, trying out some things. I don't know enough about the league in order to tell you, unless we're looking right now and saying, like, these guys are the ones you should probably look for. I don't know enough about the other guys to make a call on this, but I think we can look at who was there last year and maybe debate who can replace them.
I think Augmon, without a doubt, if it was, like, who got in first or over the other, Augmon would get it over Miller. His rebounding numbers just destroy Miller's.
Well, we'll see.
And that's the biggest discrepancy between y'all stats.
Miller's played a lot of the year at three too, so
everything's pretty much what and what between y'all.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, he's gonna make the team, so
it doesn't matter.
I get
it really doesn't matter.
I get 5 points regardless.
You get your points
starter
no matter what.
So yeah. 16 depth charts in.
Yay.
Well, the depth chart's not going to come in until deals are...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just mean as they slowly trickle in, you see teams start canceling out what they... Like, they may still get a deal off, but chances are they're... You know, if they're putting a DC in, they're not...
Let's see what else... we had a question from Ben. Best and worst trades of the season. I think we already touched on one with the Mookie deal. I don't know if that's one of the worst trades, but that was one that we kind of like, you know, the head scratcher.
What about
for him?
What about changing this up? What about most even trades? The trade that benefited both teams. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
we always talk about the traits and everything like that.
No, I agree. I think there's a lot.
Is there one that stands out to you that made both teams better? I mean, probably not.
Well, defining better is better being like helping them win or helping them towards the goals that they have for their team for the season.
Oh, here we go with the Bucks.
No.
Shit.
I'm not. I'm just saying. Like, the trade
you have to define better because we could, you know, one team could have gotten equal value in lines of draft picks, just not necessarily players.
Right.
You rarely see two big players get
swapped. Like, Conroy and I talked about this. Like, when I traded Richmond to him, I mean, it was a good deal for both of us, obviously. You know, we both made the finals that year.
And that's ultimately
what you're shooting for, right?
Right. I mean, that's the goal.
Yeah.
We're all stumped here, I think, for this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Most things have been... I mean, most of the trades have come from the Bucks and the Magic, so...
Magic really haven't made many deals.
They've made half as many as the Bucks.
The Wizards have made a
how
few.
Many guys
the Warriors
can,
have made a few.
How many guys can you legally trade at this point?
Me?
Yeah.
I have a few.
Like two or three, right?
No,
out of the 15 guys on your team?
No. I could do...
Bucks can legally trade 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10...
Yeah, but the reason why is, like, even I can trade Causewell, and I traded for him in, like...
Yeah.
Weeks 3 and 4.
It'd be easier
five,
to list the ones I can't trade. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like it's like you said, back to best and worst trades. I don't think there's any way to really say what's the best trade because I mean, some people really may feel like
right.
like the trade that went through with the Grizz and the Magic just now. I mean, I think that's a good trade for. I mean, it clears up cap for Loco to go out in the free agency this year. Getting rid of Andrew Lang. Granted, he gives up his draft picks, which I don't know. I mean,
two of them.
Would jackass signed Lang to that?
The worst contract in the league. Actually, it's not
it
worst.
Was, I mean,
no, he has a decent excuse for that one.
I mean, he was a green when I got him.
The guy got killed in training camp.
Looking back.
Otis Thorpe was also.
Leitner was going to come off the bench.
It's still funny.
Apparently,
I don't have to defend it. It was a bad bad move.
I don't really. I mean, I don't necessarily understand it for the Grizzlies, but whatever.
It's a good pull for Cole's guy.
I mean, my thing is everybody like is you know getting an erection for. Cap space, but again, we've been through the league. It's been three free agency classes, and how many big free agents have you seen move without giving up compensation for them?
Right.
Yep.
Nobody.
Sing it, Scott.
I don't have the voice to sing it, man. That's about as good as I had. I mean, that's my whole thing with people like say for cap space. They might be able to get like a middle tier guy or have to overpay for a 31-year-old, but they're not. I mean, you're not going to get a 27-year-old guy.
No,
you're just not. Like KJ. I mean, KJ. You're not getting KJ. You're not getting. Do you have anybody on the market, Chad?
No.
Okay, you're not.
And if I do, when I do, you won't get them either.
Right.
I think guys that really want to keep their players will keep them,
yeah.
Like at all costs.
Top tier guys, will not be traded.
If I have someone that someone else that I'll allow someone else to have a chance at in free agency, they will not be on my team come free agency.
Right, right, exactly. If I know
I'm not going to just
them,
let them walk away without anything. I mean, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. If you know you're not going to sign them, you're going to trade them before.
They'll be gone. Yeah.
So either way, you're getting compensation for them.
Yep. Ben, will anyone ever recognize Pacific greatness? No, we will not continue to speak about the Pacific. We always talk about the Pacific. The Pacific is great. It contains the Lakers, Warriors, and Kings,
and
who have always been good, and now the Sonics are good.
Contains a lot of
the Blazers are starting to come out.
It contains a lot of the better players in the league, too. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, a few above average GMs are there. Nola, Scott.
Just above average.
I'd probably stop there. But, you know, I mean.
I'm just above average?
No, I mean, you're a great GM.
No, but what he did is he set a line.
God, don't
so
make
he could
mistakes.
Stab
and he put
thousands
two.
Th- no.
Exactly.
That's exactly what he was doing. He was setting up the stabbing.
Me
too, Brute.
Which rebuilding teams have the biggest chance of falling on their face and prolonging the rebuild? Well,
let me go first. I'm going to say the Magic because I think they're going to build a great team and then trade it all away before they have a chance.
Well, that's true. I didn't even think about that angle.
Because that's what they've historically done.
Well,
three times now.
Either way, there's not one answer to this question. All of the rebuilding teams have the biggest chance of I mean, it's lotto.
Well, it's unfair because, like, the Nuggets are up there in that conversation, and they have no way of controlling their destiny.
Yeah.
You don't see them dealing anybody. They didn't have anybody in the beginning. They didn't have their pick. Or they will get their pick, but...
Yeah.
I mean, I think I'm going to go with the Bucks. He's right here, so we can talk about it. I mean,
I don't think he has
lottery.
He's got a ton of assets. I don't think
the thing that he has, and I defended you on this in a different thread, and I think you remember seeing it. And I said I'm okay with you aborting your franchise if you want to. I believe that's what I went with. But I mean, his draft picks could be worth something. The big deal is going to be his cap space. The problem is the guys that you want to max in this free agency, considering most of their ages and things like that, are not going to be available to the Bucks or the Magic
to
sign.
Yeah,
let's do
the,
this.
What's going to be available are older guys that the Bucks shouldn't have on their team.
Yeah,
because
well,
you know they're contending guys. They're guys
that
you gotta want to put on a contender.
Okay.
Let's do this. Who are the rebuilding teams? I mean, can you consider the Suns a rebuilding team?
I don't right now. I don't.
Right, right. And the Clippers aren't. The Nuggets,
they are.
The T-Wolves are. Grizzlies probably you have to put them in there.
Timberwolves, Bucks, Magic, Nuggets. That's the four teams I put there. I don't even put the what team you just named?
Well, you can't say Grizzlies because they just traded.
I don't say Grizzlies yet.
But yeah, but they just traded their picks. I mean, that's why I don't get that.
You can't. Yeah, I mean, yeah. You can't say that they're
rebuilding.
The Cavs
are rebuilding.
Yeah, I guess.
Except for that Wilkins trade, though. Oh, that Wilkins deal. That Wilkins deal hurts so bad.
Yeah.
Wilkins deal and not having their picks.
Yep.
Didn't you trade? Oh, yeah, you traded your pick for Wilkins.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, as far as, like, the Bucks rebuild go, they're, you know, most of their eggs is in the 94 draft. They have some, you know, good picks, some possible good picks in the future drafts, but most are obviously in this next draft.
How many lottery
and,
picks do you have
right now?
Five right now.
Five lottery picks.
Five 94s.
So you're essentially guaranteed to get at least one of the top three picks. I mean, it would be
guaranteed.
It would
be his pick. With his pick, he'll probably get a top three pick.
It would be shocking because it would need someone else that you own to bump you out of the top three.
The funny thing, the other funny thing about the rest of his picks are they're all every one of those picks. If I told you they would make the 8 seed, you would be, okay, that is possible. Sixers, Hornets, Cavs, Bulls.
No,
they can all
the
make
Hornets
the
are not possible. You need to be a 500 team. There's 17 games under 500. So they'd have to be 17 games over 500 for the second half of the season.
All right. You're right. Probably right.
I am.
You're probably right. So, but the other teams, I mean, that could be like picks 11, 12, and 13. Like, not anything that's going to.
Especially in this draft, which is only the top two.
Well, they set a post in Hoopsite, dude. Stockton might be on the move for the Bulls, and if that's the case, that the value of that pick just went up a lot.
Who has that pick?
Doug.
Yeah.
Rob Van Dam right here, bro.
You know Doug's probably like texting Jane, Jane, Jane. He's like, look, if you trade Stockton, what you can do is... You can suck for a year, give me your top three pick, and then you can tank and you win next year. You win the lottery next year. Deal?
Mm. I mean, the thing is, the Bucks are going to be a much better team after this draft with five or six. I mean, the draft may not be one of the deepest ones, but they're going to get enough players that they'll be better next year.
The thing is...
It's hard to imagine that next year's pick will be worth much.
The thing is, assuming that I keep all the picks, like, the reason I got so many assets is that down the road, I could, if I get a player that's pretty good, but then can tack on two picks to that, I could possibly turn them into something better, you know? So it's...
That's just like Conroy did.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and that's my... That's how I envisioned it, is that, like, just because I have all these picks doesn't mean I'm going to have 11 rookies on my team.
Well, people, or not rookies, but people overvalue the hell out of picks. I mean,
exactly.
Look, at the end of the day, if you have like the 17th pick, there's not a really good chance you're getting a good guy.
At best, you're getting a bench guy. That's I mean, you're not
a
solid
bench guy.
You're not getting a potential starter, most likely.
Pretty much not. I mean, there's maybe a couple drafts where somebody might fall, or you know, like a guy like. Like, oh, he's just making this an example who just got better and nobody could have predicted it.
And, I mean, you have guys in the top three that get worse.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, Larry Johnson.
All about that.
Yeah. I mean, you just have people who get worse. You have other people that get better. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, Stacey Augmon is where was he picked again?
What, five or something like that?
I think five.
And that was in the Steve Smith, Larry Johnson
draft.
I mean, he may ultimately become one of the best guys out of that draft.
Best player out of that draft, in my opinion.
I would probably, I mean, him and Steve Smith are the two guys.
At this point in the draft, I would say he's the best.
Steve
Smith's like 1A and 1.
Can I go in front?
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, but I mean, I think Augmon's stats kind of get...
Augmon went 7th.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's...
You know, it's funny to look at this right now. To look at the draft.
Yep.
Kenny Anderson went 4th.
Yeah, that was
Yellow. Stanley Roberts went 8th. Yellow. Billy Owens went 10th. Yellow. Yeah. Theron Mays, the 23rd pick.
Theron Mays is a...
Green, blue.
Yep.
Mark Mason, 19th pick. Blue.
You have a lot of options. That's
I mean, to be honest with you, I picked Stanley Roberts right after Augmon, but I went with Augmon. Okay,
Mike Iuzzolino was picked in the 2nd round.
And then cut by the...
Yellow, blue.
Cut by the... By the way, that pick, I remember that, because I think Nick traded for that pick and then said, cut my 2nd rounder, and then cut him, and then I signed him. And then he got, like, yellow, or yellow,
and you
green.
Traded him.
Yeah, and then I actually, what did I do? I re-signed him, and then I traded him to the, he got better in TC this year after the Blazers re-signed him. And then I was like, can I have him back with my pick? Yeah.
Cool story.
Yeah, it was a good story.
It's
pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's an epic tale. But yeah, I mean, what else do we have? I don't know.
I'm about to post my depth chart. I'm done with trades. This league has been so painstaking to make a trade, it's not even funny. I mean, there are some people I don't blame for us not being able to get a deal done, but there are other people who just think, their players that they're trading shit gold. I'm done with it.
This is true.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Do we have anything else? No?
I don't think so.
Yeah, we're kind of dragging along now.
Yeah, I think at this point we're kind of...
We're dragging this dead corpse.
I think we'll have a lot to talk about after the All-Star game and after... You know, right? We'll do another sim. Or not another sim, but another podcast before the playoffs, hopefully.
Stop, when y'all stop recording, keep Skype on for a second.
All right, hold on.